I'm Dave Ramos on WTAM 1100. Moments away from my chat with author and bon vivant Randy West, who's got a fantastic book called Johnny Olson, A Voice in Time, The Secrets of the Best Announcer and Audience Warm-Up Performer in History. Here's a guy who worked simultaneously on four radio networks hosting programs, ABC, NBC, CBS, Mutual, and then transitioned over into television. Here's just a little sample. This was his work from the Jackie Gleason Show. You're a kid in the 50s and 60s, you know this.
From the sun and fun capital of the world, Miami Beach, we bring you the Jackie Gleason Show.
It's Johnny O.
Starring Jackie Gleason, Art Carney, in The Honeymooner.
And of course, Johnny announced basically like every Goodson Todman game show that there was.
Starting today, here it comes, the first big hour-long game show in television, the fabulous new 60-minute Price is Right! And Mary Jane Heath, come on down! You are the first floor contestant on the Price is Right!
It's 1:37 on WTAM 1100, and there'll never be another voice like that. The voice of Johnny Olson there. That was, I think it was 1975, when the very first 60-minute, the fabulous 60-minute Price is Right, aired on CBS. And here I have the gentleman who has been authorized to write this fantastic book, which, what's the ranking now on Amazon.com, Randy West? I'm looking for it.
I don't know. You have to watch it hourly. It goes up, it goes down. It's like the stock market. It's like the weather forecast for Cleveland. You never know what's going to happen next.
It's snowing now in Cleveland, believe it or not. Johnny Olson, A Voice in Time, is the great gift idea that you can pick up at Amazon.com. And if you're like me, if you're a fan, and if you're a scholar, I guess, of the golden age of broadcasting, you're really going to like this stuff. Because Johnny O was much more than just a game show announcer, huh, Randy?
Well, we all know him from those great days. We got to stay home from school because of snow and watch The Price is Right. But there's a whole generation plus of folks who know him not only from all the great game shows, but from variety shows with Sammy Davis Jr. and, of course, Jackie Gleason. But as you say, Dave, his background goes all the way back to the very roots of radio, and his story is one that parallels the beginning of AM radio and continues through network radio and into the earliest experimental television days. So his life sort of parallels the entire entertainment industry with a few crazy forays that most fans don't know, that he appeared on Broadway in a Broadway musical. Johnny Olson also was the star of a motion picture, a full feature-length Hollywood production. So this is a guy whose voice, as you just played from The Price is Right, just brings a smile to everybody's face.
That's for sure. Because when first off, I wanted to tell you that I appreciate your work on The Price is Right. You did a hell of a job filling another big pair of shoes. Rod Roddy there, who had the same kind of problem filling Johnny Olson's shoes there, and then you find your niche and then you run with it. But I enjoyed hearing you among the wheel of voices there that were, you know, it was like who are we going to find to fit Rod Roddy's shoes?
I got to tell you, that was such a thrill. Unfortunately, it came at the expense of the health of Rod Roddy, but what a thrill to work with Bob Barker. When he looks right in your eyes, Randy, who is our next contestant? You go, Bob, I've got that name here, and I'm proud to call. You know, you got to be there for that reaction. And I'll tell you, what a thrill to stand in Johnny's footsteps. My goodness. You know, he created that phrase, come on down.
Because it was stand up, I think, wasn't it? First, it wasn't really supposed to be a part of the show, lexicon.
You are an incredible scholar, then, to know that the first week of shows in the beginning was so-and-so, stand up, Dave Ramos, stand up. And come on down was a phrase that he brought to the show and, of course, made part of the lexicon of television. And, of course, everybody, you know, come on down. We're all saying that now because of an inspiration Johnny had. Johnny had a tremendous touch with the common folk, and I don't mean that in the sound of a condescending way, but he was a man from the Midwest, and he'd spent a lot of time in Milwaukee and other cities. Cleveland, he was on KYW radio, in fact, on some of the NBC shows that he did, and he had a great ability to relate to the common man. And his exuberance and his choice of words really rang home with listeners across the country. So, yes, Come On Down is just one of the pieces of lexicon, part of the language that we've all come to know.
You mentioned Bob. You know, of course, we're familiar with him in front of the camera. Johnny did some in front of the camera work, too. But once he found that spot where he knew, all right, this is it, it was kind of a behind-the-scenes thing for him. He really wasn't much into being in front of the lens. Am I right?
Well, you know, you're right that most people don't know his face. Very few know his name. But I'll tell you, the greatest tribute to his character and class, if you will, is that he was a host of early television shows, and he was an older generation than Bob Barker. And as his hairline receded and his look was no longer considered to be, prime for television, other people might have taken the opportunity to retire or change focus or whatever, and he said, no, I will take this second banana off-camera role, and I will turn it into something that is special and unique. So, the industry gave him lemons, and he made lemonade.
With your work on Price is Right and your work now currently on Newlywed Game on GSN, you're second banana. All right, and I don't mean that to be.
That's
me too.
Proud to be.
What is the key to making that work?
The key is to know your place and to empathize with what the host is doing at any particular moment. If he's looking for a laugh, be there to wave the audience on or to contribute a little chuckle on your own that will encourage others to laugh. But it's also to know when there's an awkward moment. And Johnny was great because he was a host for so many years, to know when the transition isn't moving properly, when the host is finding difficulty putting the words together or moving from this side of the stage to the other, to throw in a line or a chuckle or just some aside. And, Johnny was always there as a liaison between the audience and the host, looking in the host's eyes almost constantly for that quick glance he might get from the corner of the host's eyes to know that here's a great chance for me to step in and say something or do something.
What was your first, what got you, I don't want to use the word obsessed, but it's a good obsession, obsessed as I am with radio and broadcasting and stuff like this. It's funny when I say the word obsessed, I go around the radio station here describing things. Well, it's a brand new newspaper, The Plain Dealer, brought to you by, and then, oh, here comes Dave doing his Johnny Olsen thing again. What was it that got you so electrified with broadcasting?
Well, I think for so many people as a kid, we found those great disc jockeys in the city that we grew up, whether, it was Boss Radio in Los Angeles or WABC in New York or the great top 40 stations of Cleveland, where the disc jockey playing the records and playing the hits of the time. We were all kids in junior high, and those voices on the radio were magic to us. What really ignited it for me was growing up in New York and having the opportunity to watch television shows tape. And the first time I saw Johnny Olsen was at NBC 30 Rock, and he was doing a show called Snap Judgment with Ed McMahon. As a student, as you are, I know you're familiar with the show. Mm-hmm. And Johnny stepped out on this stage with a bunch of, it was raining in New York, it was a winter day, and everybody was just, with that New York attitude, all wet with their heavy overcoats. And out came Johnny Olsen on stage, 8H, going, no, how's everybody doing today? And now everybody started to smile and giggle, and within 3 minutes he had the audience in the palm of his hand, and I thought that was just magic. And I would follow him from taping to taping. He acknowledged me, put me in his audience warm-up, and I became just so thrilled with the magic that this guy could create out of a room full of strangers, turning them all into family and friends and setting the tone for the show that was about to begin, because, that was, as much it was fun to watch, it was a very important part of broadcasting, because if a host came out and was ready to do a big show and the audience is sitting there with their arms folded, it's never going to work. So he was prized and a welcome member to the team for so many television shows that knew that when he came out and warmed up that audience, what followed would be magic.
And that warm-up is tricky because you can't really push it too much, and you can't leave it behind. You have to find that right that right frequency, I guess, where it's like, I'm not going to upstage the star, but I need to get them ready for him.
Perfect. If you set too high a bar and you're out there doing comedy and shtick, then the show is less fantastic when it begins. So what Johnny did was more or less just make everybody feel like they were a member of the family. He'd go out to the line an hour before the show, and people are standing out on the sidewalk and say, "Hi, I'm Johnny. We're going to see each other inside. What's your name? Where are you from? What do you do?" "Oh, I'm a butcher from, you know, Cincinnati." "Well, that's great. We're going to get in and have a great time." He'd go down the line, introduce himself to everybody, and when he stepped out on stage, he felt like he was already your friend and was able to just make everybody connect. Now, you look like a man who enjoys a porterhouse steak. Well, I know a great butcher from Cincinnati. Raise your hand. There's Uncle Tim over there. And he had everybody interacting and part of the magic. So it wasn't necessarily a stand-up comedy act or anything of that nature. It was more, let's get everybody to relax and be friends and react as one.
What have you learned by working on Price is Right, both the stage show and there at Studio 33 at CBS?
That it is one of the great traditions in America. People come to that studio audience for the TV show or to the casinos in Las Vegas where we perform The Price is Right live with so much goodwill that television show has created over the years. Everybody's familiar with the music, the sounds, the new car, and that call to come on down. There's such goodwill. But what's especially wonderful about The Price is Right, more so than some of the many other shows that I've announced, is that it's always been live. You know, you can take shows like Deal or No Deal that I worked on and others that use as many as 10 cameras and 10 different recording tape machines to later assemble a show, and they stop and start. Can we get that reaction again? Can we take that picture again? How about another angle on that shot?
And it's great production quality. I've heard that some of those tapings of the shows are maybe 7-8 hours long, and they look fantastic. They look fabulous when they're done. But you're right. There is nothing as because I've been to 4 tapings of Price is Right. The first one I got called on down, thankfully.
Oh, good.
And that was thrilling. It was in 2001. And I got to tell you, you're right. That I to this day, that was the most thrilling, happiest moment of mine. I could have won, a toaster oven or whatever, but just to be, it was pure joy.
Dave Ramos, come on down.
That it was just joy to hear that. The first name out of the gate too, which was interesting.
Oh, that is cool. That's a vote of confidence for you. It means the producers thought you would be strong.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, you got to play Plinko too, so that was fun.
Well, wait a minute. I had no idea I was talking to greatness here.
Stop it, please. All right. With that in mind, I got to take a quick break. 1:48 on WTAM 1100. I'm here with Randy West and the fantastic book Johnny Olson, A Voice in Time, which you can snap it up on Amazon. Oh, just ticked up another one, Randy.
Oh, good.
Well, by the time we get back, maybe it'll be up 2 more. Back in a flash on WTAM. Johnny Olson, what's the next item up for bids?
A Flocati rug, a new jukebox, it's a handy compactor, a brass and glass desk, a washer dryer, a barbecue, and a moped. So there they are, Bob.
And there they are, Bob, indeed. It's 1:51 on WTAM 1100. Just a little montage I had to put together. It was funny. Randy West, who's joining me now on the line, announcer of the Newlywed Game, and worked so long on The Price is Right Live and got to work with Bob Barker on The Price is Right on CBS. The book is Johnny Olson, A Voice in Time, and we used to do, I produced the midday show here a couple of years ago, and we give away prizes, as any great radio station does, fabulous and exciting merchandise, and I brought the character of Johnny Olson to the radio here, and he said, "Johnny?" Well, and it was fun because I got to work with, well, you heard him there doing that phone at Bob France. It was his show.
Yeah.
And I would say, "Well, Bob, it's a brand new pair of or something like that." And it was fun to do that because everyone knows that voice,
yes.
Right?
Yes, everybody knows that voice. He had a career of 58 years on radio and television, and it's always been associated with good times, whether it was a variety show for Jackie Gleason or all those great game shows. We all smile when we hear that delivery. Just that little montage that you played is just marvelous. And I'll tell you something interesting. Here's a guy who, after all those years as a professional in broadcasting, still would take his script and mark them, prepare them, write in the margins of them, underline words, make all these crazy markings that he created. There are scripts from The Price is Right in the book that include his handwritten markings, and it just shows what a professional he was. You know, so many of us can, you know, coast through a performance or, you know, just go through a day's work and on autopilot, but here's a guy who took nothing for granted, and to see the intense work that he put in preparation for each day's show is kind of an interesting insight to the man.
Yeah, you can't just, I mean, you could just get handed a piece of copy and read it, but you need to know where to put the punch and where to make, to sell the sizzle as opposed to the steak. Also, what else can we discover in the book? I would imagine there's a great deal of photos.
Oh my goodness, close to 100 photos that, you know, most never seen before because they come from Johnny's own collection and other, you know, aficionados of broadcast history. Because Johnny's life really does parallel from the beginning of AM radio to experimental television through the modern era. So much of that radio and TV that is so much a part of our daily lives now. I'll tell you an interesting story. He was in Milwaukee as the number one rated disc jockey, but couldn't get on network radio. He moved to Hollywood, could not get a break. He went back to Milwaukee, and he's doing a top-rated show. NBC is being sold, or the NBC Blue Network, half of NBC, was being spun off, and he wrote a letter to the new owner of the NBC Blue Network, which became ABC. He gets no response in the mail. He packs up, takes a train to New York, walks in, asks, just unannounced, without an appointment, to see the president of the new network.
Oh, because, you know, because everyone, you know, does that when they want a job. Just go ahead and write to the boss.
Go right into the boss. Go to the head of the network. And the two secretaries look at each other. There's no way. Well, they go in and announce that the guy from Milwaukee's here. He's welcomed into the office, to the surprise of the secretaries. And he said, in a quick interview, told to come back tomorrow. You start tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know, is it just that he made such a great impression? No, there was another broadcaster in the same city, Milwaukee, who had been invited to come and audition. And Johnny said, I may have, you know, been given the job because of a fluke and a mistake, but I sure made good out of it. So here's a guy so dedicated, he packs his bag and moves in. I'm going to see the president. And sure enough, he lands a job in 1943 that takes him to network radio and network television with yet still another 40 years to enjoy.
So you're telling me that the possibility exists, albeit slim,
yes,
that this guy's entire career was based on Ed Noble's error?
Well,
at least the break he got.
The break he got was clear. He thought he was Heine of Heine and the Grenadiers. If you read the book, you'll know who that is. But he was a disc jockey and performer and singer. There was a case of mistaken identity. And the next day, when he comes back as the first day of work, the guy says, "Oh, you're the Heine from." And he just avoids the question entirely. So where? What room are we in now? Oh, what are, you know? And he's put on the air. But you know what? As Johnny said, I made good at it. And indeed he did. He filled in for Gary Moore, who was an up-and-coming broadcaster at the time and did a lot of local shows for New York and was given his network break. And from there, I mean, it's an amazing story of him being thrown with, you know, next to Milton Berle and Jack Benny and Bob Hope and all these great, Kate Smith, big, big names of the and made good at it, as he says.
Randy, I'm so glad that we got a chance to chat today. The book is definitely one that you'll want to pick up on Amazon.com. It is Johnny Olson, A Voice in Time. And where can we hear and see you, Randy?
Well, I'm appearing in my living room later today. But as you mentioned, I'm proud to be part of the Newlywed Game. Well, that's on Game Show Network now. And January 7th is a special return of Bob Eubanks to host the Newlywed Game for a one-time episode. So we'll see that on January 7th. You can hear me there every night and appearing in Las Vegas from time to time with The Price is Right live at Bally's.
That's fantastic. I'll have to head out there and maybe we can share a description of a Flocati rug if I ever make it out to L.A.
It would be my pleasure to meet you, Dave. So much fun. The time just flew by. I hope you're having a great afternoon. Everybody in Cleveland, have fun today.
Thanks, Randy. Happy holidays.
You too, my friend. Take care.
All right. It's 1:57 on WTAM 1100. CSU basketball is next. Thanks for joining me.